You're listening to Friday Night's Arena. I'm joined now by our album reviewers, Sarah Hederman and Pat Carty. And we'll talk about the albums in a moment, but sad news reaching us that the guitarist with the script, Mark Sheehan, has died at the age of 46. Pat, tragic news for his family, friends and the band.
It is, absolutely. It comes as a shock. He was a very young man. He was 46. And I think maybe some of us, some people maybe in this country don't realise how big the script are, you know, what a massive band they are. Their music has been featured in loads of TV programmes like 90210 and EastEnders, which, you know, must have reached a huge audience. And Danny O'Donoghue, wasn't he the coach on The Voice UK? And they've won 3 Meteor Irish Music Awards and 2 World Music Awards, 2 Brit nominations, and they've sold over 20 million albums worldwide, which is pretty impressive.
Now, I don't think he had been on their last tour. Is that right, Sarah?
Yeah, no, he hadn't. So they were on the US leg of their Greatest Hits tour, and he actually took a bit of time away to be with his friends and family. And Danny O'Donoghue, the singer, had said that he had taken the bit of time off, and he had noted that, you know, you get refreshed and then you come back with a new zest of life. And I believe this would be the best thing that could have happened for us. And he did say that, you know, that him and Glenn, the other member of the script, got on with the American leg. And he was saying very sadly how when they do get back in a room together, how it will be magic. And I think that's a testament to their friendship, because as successful as they are, as Pat was outlining there, they have been friends for such a long time. Like, they formed the band in 2001. So, of course, thoughts with Danny and Glenn, and of course, Mark's family as well at this time.
Absolutely.
Very sad. Well,
thank you for that tribute to Mark Sheehan, who's passed away today. And this is The Script with The Man Who Can't Be Moved. The Man Who Can't Be Moved, the script there, with the sad news that guitarist Mark Sheehan has died, a yesterday Gorevan. Time now for the album reviews, and first up, legendary LA rockers Metallica, formed all the way back in 1981. Today they celebrate 42 years in existence with album number 11 in their career, entitled 72 Seasons. Next up, Daughter, the indie folk trio formed in London in 2010. The band is fronted by singer Elna Tornra, and Stereo Mind Games is their fourth album. And finally, Blonde Shell, stage name of the indie rock singer, songwriter and guitarist Sabrina Tittlebaum. Based in Los Angeles, her first single under the name Blondshell arrived in June of last year, and her debut album, also entitled Blondshell, is out now. Pat Carty and Sarah Hederman, as I said, have been listening to our three albums tonight. And let's start this Friday evening review slot with some rock and roll. Metallica, the current album is called 72 Seasons, and this is the opening track, the title track, in fact, 72 Seasons. That was Metallica with 72 Seasons, the title track and the opening track to their current album. They're 11 so far in their four-decade career. As I say, Pat Carty and Sarah Hederman are with me now. So 11 albums up, Pat. Is this classic Metallica? Is there anything but classic Metallica?
Well, I think it is classic Metallica in the sense that it's different from maybe the Metallica that the general public might be familiar with. It's more like the early days of Metallica, and I think it's deliberately so, and I think the last couple of albums have been like that. The one I was talking about there is the Black Album that came out in the early 90s, and it ended up in 17 million homes in the US alone. So in a way, Metallica, no matter what myself and Zara say now, are beyond criticism. You can't go near them. This is like that title track we heard there. If we tried to listen to the whole thing, we'd be here till about 8:30, and that's just the first track alone. And the first track is fantastic. And if it was all like that, I wouldn't have any problem at all. That's like Motorhead finding a particularly lethal bag of speed and going in and trying to do a prog rock album. It just sounds fantastic to me.
And what is particularly fantastic about that track?
Well, you know, I don't like to use four-letter words on the radio, but there's a prog element to it. It's like it's got movements. It starts off with this riff that's almost like a relative of Thin Lizzy's Hollywood or AC/DC having a bad day. And then, you know, it goes double time, then it switches back to 4/4, then there's a guitar solo, then Hetfield comes in roaring and shouting about staring into black light. If that's not classic Metallica, I don't know what it is.
Now, Zara, you were introduced to them, I think, through the documentary Some Kind of Monster, which I started watching today. And
it's
fabulous. Is just fantastic.
It's
the characters
hilarious.
In Metallica are something else. And in fighting, and they don't care who's watching them fighting.
It's
and
phenomenal.
All this angst and people having to go home to look after their family, but afraid that they're going to leave the band because what the band will do when they've left.
And the therapist in there as well. Yeah, no, it's probably one of the best examples of reality TV I've ever seen in my life. And I think with that introduction, it made me think that Metallica were quite cartoonish in both their personalities and then their music. And it didn't really inspire me to go back through their catalogue after seeing that documentary. But I will have to say that with 72 seasons, even though it is 77 minutes long, I did actually quite enjoy quite a lot of this. Like I did think that, and to my surprise, I thought that James Hetfield as a vocalist sounded quite rejuvenated. Lars Ulrich on the drums, I thought, you know, he is playing at such breakneck speed. Like it's exhausting listening to him. I do wonder now how much the studio helped them kind of enhance their sound and their style. And it was something that I constantly as well throughout listening to this, I really want to see them live just to see how these songs work in a live setting. Because one of my main criticisms with this album, it was the length. And I did find that, you know, a lot of these songs are either 7 minutes long, they're 8 minutes long. The last one is 11 minutes long.
Oh God.
And within that, you know, there's some great instrumental breaks in there and they can be invigorating. But I did think that those moments were better suited to a live setting rather than me at home listening to them.
A bit too long for you, all of the tracks?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's like if you fell down walking out in the street and your face landed in a puddle and someone came up behind you and grabbed the back of your head and kept repeatedly shoving you down into the puddle. What's that George Orwell quote about a boot down on someone's face? There's a bit of that going on.
Okay, it's like, but you might regret falling in the first place.
Well,
so why
true.
Would you
no,
be
no,
listening to Metallica?
Is, the thing is, now, I had a friend of mine say to me this week, there's a new Metallica out on album out on Friday. It should be a national holiday. So if this was one of my favourite bands and they released an album that was 75 minutes, sure, I'd be jumping up and down. Mm-hmm. So for the faithful, this is absolute manna from heaven and they're going to adore it.
Now, you had a problem with the length, but you weren't so thrilled with their lyrics. I mean, I suppose it's not a band you go to for deep insight.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. No, lyrically, this was like there was times where, and even though I'm saying that lyrically, this is not the most nuanced or strong representation of Hetfield's work. I do find that they are a band you listen to their arrangements more so. But at the same time, I was keenly listening to what he was saying because he has some very funny moments where, you know, on Darkness, what is it? Darkness is a son. If Darkness had a son, and he said, if Darkness had a son, here I am, I bathe in holy water. Later on, he's talking about, you know, wearing a crown of barbed wire. It's destiny I wear. It splits the skin to the soul. This jagged wreath I wear. But at the same time, there are quite a few songs. And
sounds great.
I know. No, it's great. But then, you know, at the same time, I did feel kind of bad laughing to myself at Hetfield's lyricism because he is clearly a man who we all know through the documentary. And if you're a fan of Metallica, who has struggled quite a lot with addiction. He's very open about his road to recovery and he does try to write about that quite a lot in this. And there are moments where you can kind of almost feel that he has written them straight after maybe being with his therapist and how he articulates things. So you can't fault him for wanting to try and better himself. Mm. And he's not the most nuanced, but he does have those moments previously where he does give you a bit of a chuckle.
Yeah, unintentionally. And there's that voice that's strained all the time.
He gives it socks all right, as do the rest of them. I was just thinking while Zara was saying that, it does remind you of the old, you know, I suffered for my art and now it's your turn. Another thing that Zara mentioned was Lars Ulrich. One of the problems I had with this is the drumming, you know, while it's of course perfectly in time, perfectly accurate, it doesn't really swing. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't really have that kind of thing. I thought
you should be in the documentary. That was the beat fight all the time. They kept wanting him to do something creative.
Kirk Hammett, I mean, I think in places here he sounds fantastic. They're amazing musicians. He is an amazing singer. I mean, it is a great voice. It's a powerful voice. But I just think, I mean, even if you looked at the titles on this, Room of Mirrors, Too Far Gone, If Darkness Had a Son, Chasing Light, Crown of Barbed Wire, Screaming Suicide. You wouldn't have to be told it was a Metallica album, you know. You're not going to mistake this for Daniel at all. There's okay. No chance of that.
Stars out of five from you, Pat.
I would give it 3 out of 5 because I do think there are at least two great songs on it. And you kind of have to admire their lack of compromise and the bravado and the way they just, we're Metallica, here you go. If you don't like it, get out of the way.
And you, Zara?
I have to say, this really converted me and I'm looking forward now to going back to, say, like Master of Puppets. So for me, it's a 3.5 out of 5.
3.5 and 3 out of 5 for Metallica's 72 seasons. Next up, an English trio who go by the name of Daughter, with a singer from London, a Swiss guitarist and a French drummer. They've been together since 2010 and have now signed to the uber credible 4AD record label. So what else do we need to know about Daughter, Zara?
Well, in the 13 years that they have been together, they've actually done quite a lot, considering they took a 7-year, as the Elena Tonra said, a friendly break, where she had a solo career. They've scored a video game. They've had 2 albums. Julian Baker, who of course is one of the biggest songwriters at the moment, had expressed quite a fondness for their second album, Not to Disappear, which, when you consider now it's been 7 years between the second album and this one, it's quite an aptly titled album. But here I thought that they came back together actually sounding quite rejuvenated. They prefaced this album by saying that this was their most optimistic album and that it actually thematically looked at connection and disconnection. And the disconnection here is how they are all now not in their London base. They're spread between Bristol, London and Portland. And I do think that those different cities have seeped in to kind of enhance and elevate their previous sound.
Okay, well, you say optimistic, but I'm going to play a track that may not be so optimistic. It's called Party. So that's Party from Stereo Mind Games by Daughter, and Pat Carty and Zara Hederman have been listening to it for me. So I was just listening to you earlier about what you thought about this, and I think you think two very different things about this Party track. What do you think about it, Pat?
What do you think
is happening?
Do you think the party is in inverted commas for irony? First of all, the sound of that, to me anyway, is that plodding indie bass line is like if you just pressed indie in GarageBand, you know, and you just it's the kind of fallback setting of it. She's talking there about you know, my friends are vanishing. It's the worst night of my life. Put up the volume so I can drown myself out. And the Stereo Mind Game, I'm trying to keep my... This party sounds awful to me, okay? And it's soundtracked by this really boring music. So, you know, maybe you should just leave the party. This youth is wasted on the young guy, you know, and
I
say
do you
that
think,
to you as
Sarah?
To me.
I actually thought that with that, the chugging guitar, I thought that element to this album brought great variety, because I think ambient and immersive were two words that were often pegged onto Daughter's music. And my reading of some of Tonra's lyrics throughout, as much as I felt that she was talking to me and describing this tired party, Pat, as you described, I actually kind of took this as maybe her, because this, again, this is 7 years between releases and in that a lot has happened. I kind of took some of the things she was saying, like, I'm trying to keep my cool, my friends are vanishing, I'm scared I lost my head. I almost felt that she was talking to herself and kind of talking herself through her experiences as much for her own kind of progression as an individual, more so than for us as a listener, which I think as a songwriter is why people ultimately would make music. So I found that kind of context and her voice as well, I really like. I thought that context worked actually quite well for me with this
album. Okay, and not too down for you.
No, I mean, you have to take the good and the sad.
Place anyway, Zara. Thanks very much. Yeah, okay.
So, Pat, a stars out of five for Daughter.
Well, I did like the opening track. After you get through the intro, there's a thing called Be On Your Way, which I thought was very good. Just to contrast with Zara again, and not deliberately, I found her breathless kind of voice a bit trying. I didn't think a lot of this went anywhere. You know, songs would start off and be promising and not really get where they were going. So I give it 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5 from you. And for you, Zara.
I really enjoyed this and I enjoyed the artistic development that they showed with this album. So it was a 4 for me.
4 and 2, quite a contrast. Now, Blonde Shell, yes, is the first album and it comes from an American singer-songwriter, Sabrina Tettelbaum. Pat, tell us a little more about her. She has made records under other pseudonyms before.
She has. She began a recording career under the name Baum, I think is how you pronounce it, and several singles, including one called This Body, which was on a Target ad campaign, and another one that was quite well known, which I can't actually read out the name of here on air because there's a swear word in it. But halfway through recording her second EP, she was doing okay, you know, and halfway through recording her second EP, she said to her producer, listen, this isn't the direction I want to go in. And she completely changed. She played him an acoustic version of a song called Olympus, which is on this new record. And he, which that is Yves Rotman, said, yeah, let's do that. And then brought out this record. And, you know, having listened to Baum, this is completely different and miles ahead of it. This is quite a strong record.
OK, let's listen to Veronica Mars. That's Veronica Mars from Blondshell by Blondshell. So in contrast to Metallica, so many contrasts to Metallica, but in terms of length, like the album is only something like 32 minutes long. The tracks are quite short and sometimes they're almost getting going and then there's this kind of dramatic stop almost for effect.
Exactly, like we hear with Veronica Mars, like that kind of lift with the more rockier instrumentation goes on for maybe about 30 seconds and then we're straight into the next song, which takes on a completely different mood. And in some ways I think that that actually works and it's quite effective. It leaves you wanting more. And I did find that the tonal variety in this was, it did kind of interest me and it kept me wanting to come back more so the second half of this album, where she gets a bit woozier with some of the production. But I do think as well that this was just a very strong debut in terms of just her personality. Like she's very frank in the way that I sometimes thought of, say, like Fiona Apple or Amy Winehouse. And unfortunately with Amy Winehouse in this regard, Blondshell also has written extensively about her addictions and getting sober, and she's extremely frank about that. And I think in a debut album that's such a strong introduction, because I enjoyed my time with her even though it was difficult hearing some of her experiences, but it was very worthwhile.
Yeah, Pat, I think you were very impressed by her own guitar playing and then with the all the arrangements, even though they may have been a bit short in places.
Yeah, absolutely. The guitar playing is great, the arrangement's great, the songwriting is great. As Zara pointed out, again, I don't mean to contrast deliberately with Zara. I preferred the first half of the record. I thought the singles are very, very strong. And I thought there was some humour in it as well. You know, there's a song there, Salad, where she's talking about putting poison in somebody's salad. You know, it wouldn't be so bad. It wouldn't hurt the world. Look what you did. You made a killer of this Jewish girl. It's really good. It's going to, I think it'd be really, really good live. Her voice takes off. The only problem is that, and something like the song we just heard there, Veronica Mars, it's really just getting going and it comes to this stop. It's a very good record.
So stars out of five for Blondshell.
I'll give it 4. I really like this.
4 out of 5 from you, Pat. And for you, Zara?
It's a 3 from me.
Okay. And that was Zara Hedeman and Pat Carty listening to Metallica, Daughter and Blondshell.